of gentleness. Gentleness. Folks, over and over in the pages of God's Word, God exhorts us to be gentle to other people. 2 Timothy 2:24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Paul, as he writes to Timothy, or Titus, in Titus 3 verse 2, exhorts us to certain qualities, and he says that we are to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness to all men. One of the fruits of the Spirit that you and I are to be manifesting and developing in our life is gentleness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Folks, I grew up in a gentler time than we are living in at this present time. Individuals seem to be more gentle 30 or 40 or 50 years ago than they are today. Today, individuals are rude, they are mean, they are cruel, they are violent. They don't mind getting revenge, they don't mind expressing themselves boldly. And none of that is gentle in nature. And yet, God calls upon us to be a gentle people. We're going to be looking at several points. I want to begin with the definition of gentleness. We could do a huge word study with regard to gentleness. When you look up the word gentle, there are two different Greek words that are translated by the English word gentle. When you look up the word gentleness, there's one Hebrew word translated gentleness and two Greek words that are translated gentleness. When you look up the word gently, there are two Hebrew words that are translated gently. So we could do an unbelievable word study when it comes to this idea of what it means to be gentle. But what I have done is I've gone into the lexicons, I've gone into the various commentators, and I've just accumulated a list of words that define this concept of being gentle. And here's a few of them. Affable. Another word, kind. Another one, mild. Appropriate. Seemly. And then the word suitable. Now right there is six words that describe what it means to be a gentle person. We could take each one of those words and its different nuances, and we could make application of them in our lives, and that is exactly what we ought to do. But the list doesn't stop there. Gentleness involves being equitable, being fair, modestly. We continue. Meekness is a part of this concept of gentleness. Clemency and useful. The list goes on and it involves moral excellence. Another definition is moral goodness. Still another is integrity. To move quietly or softly. Softness. And notice this next one. To lead with care. Wow. You see why this lesson could be preached for a long period of time? We can take each one of those words and we can make application of them in our lives, because each one of those words are pointing to this concept of our being very gentle individuals with other people. They say that a picture is worth a thousand words, don't they? So what I'm about to do is show you some pictures of gentleness. One picture is this. A nurse who is treating the wound of a small child. Folks, doesn't a nurse do that with great gentleness? I find it interesting that when a nurse walks in, a child is fairly mild and tame. Let the doctor walk in and the child goes ballistic. Why? Doctors are rough. Nurses, though, are gentle, aren't they? Another picture. Try going about tomorrow and just carry a raw egg with you everywhere you go. You can't drop it, you can't break it, you can't crack it. Guess what you're going to learn? You're going to learn how to be gentle, aren't you? You're going to be gentle when you set it down. You're going to be gentle when you pick it up. You're going to be gentle as you walk. You're going to be gentle going through doors. You're going to be gentle everywhere you move with that egg in your hand. You want to teach a child how to be gentle? Just show them or teach them to carry an egg around for a period of time. Folks, they'll learn the concept of gentleness. Here's another one. Here's a big strapping dad, and yet he's holding that precious little infant in those big hands. Folks, that's the quality of gentleness, isn't it? It's fun to watch a big guy like Larry Cameron holding that little baby girl, isn't it? Just fun to watch that. You almost pick them up and you're almost trembling at first, especially when they're little newborns. You're this big guy and you just kind of tremble. You want to treat that little baby so you don't hurt it, you don't mash it, you don't squeeze it. Every movement is the movement of gentleness with that child. Folks, these are the kind of concepts the Lord is talking about when He exhorts us in numerous passages to be gentle individuals with other people. But gentleness is not an easy quality to manifest, is it? Not all the time. And there are a lot of reasons why you and I struggle with this idea of gentleness. Oh yeah, I know we like to think of ourselves as gentle people, but oftentimes we manifest a quality that is not so gentle with other people. One of the reasons is because we live in an extremely evil world, don't we? John writes in 1 John 5:19, "But now we are the sons of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Folks, there are a lot of wicked people in the world, aren't they? David refers to some in Psalm 38, verse 19, his enemies. And he notes this, "Mine enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they are multiplied that hate me wrongfully," he says. Guys, every one of us, as we go through the course of our life, have individuals who hate us, individuals who despise us, individuals who look at us as an enemy. And they're going to try to do everything and anything they possibly can in order to destroy us. They want nothing to do with us. They will laugh at our downfall. They will laugh at our ruin. If we die, they wouldn't bat an eye at that. They're enemies. Question: is it easy to deal gently with people who you know are enemies? That's not easy, is it? But you see, it doesn't just have to be an enemy. David again in Psalm 41 verse 9 says this, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, he hath lifted up his heel against me." Has a friend ever done you wrong? Has a friend ever broke confidence? Have they ever been the one who has voted against you instead of for you? Have they been the one who has developed a coup against you? Have they been the one who has rejoiced to see you go? The one who rejoices in your downfall and in your ruin? Folks, sometimes even our friends don't stand with us. And sometimes when they are in opposition, it's extremely difficult to be gentle toward those people, isn't it? So you see, our evil world makes it hard for you and me to be gentle. We want to immediately come against them with all the forces of strength we can possibly show. And yet God says, be gentle. Be gentle. How about this one? The emotions of man make it very difficult for us oftentimes to be gentle people. God has filled our minds with all kinds of emotions. Some of them are what we would refer to as very positive, and some of them are extremely negative. I find it interesting that all emotions are gifts, and all emotions that God has given us are for our good unless they are used in a wrong way. If a dog is rushing at you with his teeth bared, you are not going to treat that dog gently. I'm not. I'm going to kick it in the teeth. Aren't you? I'm going to show that dog that I'm as angry as he is before he attacks me and overcomes me. Now, in that situation, that quality of anger toward that dog is a good thing, is it not? But guys, sometimes our anger is a bad thing, isn't it? And it seems as though something happens to us, a person does something to us, and immediately we are just triggered and full of anger, aren't we? It's almost as though it doesn't go through any rational thinking whatsoever. Something happens and I'm mad. Folks, it's dangerous. Did you know that? The Bible talks about it. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 4. Wrath is cruel. Watch this. And anger is outrageous. It's outrageous. But you see, sometimes, rather than manifesting a quality of being gentle, all we think we're supposed to do, show my anger. I'm mad at you. Now this other quality, patience, isn't so much an emotion, but it's based on our emotions, isn't it? Anybody ever step on your last nerve? Is there anybody that when they show their presence, you immediately know my patience is about to be challenged? Who they are, what they are, how they act, their personality, and you go, oh, they're here. And it doesn't take much, does it? Let them say one little word. Let them make one little statement, and all of a sudden, guess what? I am literally out of control against that person. Wow. On one occasion, Jonathan is in the presence of his father. And Jonathan is there to defend an individual by the name of David, his friend. And the Bible says this, and Jonathan said unto Saul his father, wherefore should he be slain? What hath he done? Does anybody remember the reaction of Saul on that occasion? The Bible says this, and Saul cast his javelin at him to slay him. Oh, Jonathan had just stepped on Saul's last nerve. You ungrateful son. You young man who would give away the kingdom to this joker by the name of David. Who are you? And rather than acting gently with his son and answering his questions calmly, what does he do? He grabs a javelin and is going to pin him to the wall, his own son. You see, we don't always act gently, do we? Our emotions, our patience gets the best of us and overcomes us. And folks, we react in ways we should not. How about this one? Our eagerness to get even. The example that I have is one that we talked about in last week's lesson. David with Nabal. Oh, Nabal's not going to pay David and his men the wages that they deserve for protecting the flocks. And what does David do? I'll get even with that old boy. And David said unto his men, gird ye on your armor. And his men gird on their armor. And David gird on his armor. And there went up with David 400 men. Folks, why? What was he going to do? He was just going to peacefully march against Nabal's house and say, Nabal, you need to pay us. No. Folks, he had every intention of slaying that entire family. If he won't pay, I'll get even. If he won't pay, he and the entirety of his house will die. Can you imagine that? One man says no to payment, and I'm going to kill an entire house of people. You see, the desire to get even. He deserves it. He needs it. He's done me wrong. He's hurt me. And I'll get him back. You see, that desire that we have sometimes keeps us from treating other individuals gently. How about this? Treating another person gently involves the emptying of myself to that person. By that I mean this. To treat another person gently means that I am going to give you a gift. Now most of the time we give gifts because we think a person deserves a gift, don't we? But what about those times when an individual doesn't deserve a gift? Somebody comes to us and says, you need to treat that person with gentleness. Huh? Are you kidding me? He doesn't deserve that from me. I thought of a man by the name of Philemon. We all know the story. Onesimus ran from him, stole from him. Can you imagine what Philemon thought when he found out that Onesimus is missing? I paid good money for that servant. If and when we catch that old codger, guess what? He'll pay the price. He may even die the death. In fact, he stole from me too. If we flog him, we'll double flog him. And yet, Onesimus is converted, isn't he? By guess who? One of Philemon's best friends, Paul. Paul sends Onesimus back, and in Philemon, verse 12, he says this, whom I have sent again. Now listen to what he says. Thou therefore receive him as mine own bowels. Wow. Folks, the Apostle Paul knew Philemon well, probably had converted Philemon, may have even saved Philemon's life at some point in time. Can you imagine a person being that close to you? He's converted you. He's even saved your life. And now guess what? He sends an old runaway slave back to you. And he says, I want you to treat him exactly like you would treat me. Wow. Talk about receiving with gentleness. Wouldn't that be a difficult thing to do? Can you imagine when Onesimus walks through the door? What Philemon's thinking, there's that old slave. Get the cat of nine tails, time to whoop him. And yet, what has Paul said? No, I want you to treat him exactly like you treat me. Wow. You see, it's hard, folks, to be gentle sometimes. What about this last one? Sometimes treating somebody gently is an exhibition of, watch this, inequity. It's so funny. We live in a society today where we think everything has to be fair, don't we? And that's what everybody's working for, fairness. This little group's got to be treated fairly. This little group's got to be treated fairly. That little group's got to be treated. Everybody has to be treated with equity. And if you're not treated just the way you think you're supposed to be treated, you're not treated fairly, guess what? Everybody, oh, I'm not being treated fair. And they just scream out. I don't know about you, but one of the things I learned early on in life is, guess what? Sometimes there ain't no fairness in this world. One person told me one time, if you want the fair, it comes to Jacksonville once a year. You see, folks, sometimes there's no fairness. And here God says, do what? God says, look, I want you to treat all men, everybody, with gentleness. Peter says that we are not to render evil for evil and railing for railing. Watch this. but contrariwise with blessing, knowing that thereunto were ye called, that ye should inherit a blessing. 1 Peter 3, verse 9. Did you hear what he just said? You don't render evil for evil. You don't render railing for railing. Why? Because you're supposed to give others a blessing, because that's where you've been called to. Folks, you and I are Christians. You and I are children of God. You and I have been called to be gentle people toward all mankind. And it's not easy. But if we expect to reap a blessing in the hereafter, it's exactly how God expects us to live. You turn in Scripture and guess what you find? Numerous displays of gentleness. You know that? Let's look at three or four. Remember Abraham and Lot? The Bible says that there was a strife between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen. Lot had grown up. He'd become a wealthy man. He had huge flocks. And where they were trying to keep these flocks, there was just not enough land there. And the herdsmen began to feud and fight one with another. And the old man, Abraham, intervenes, doesn't he? Let there be no strife between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate thyself from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart into the right hand, then I will take the left. Wow, there's a man of gentleness, is it not? Folks, he's the old man. He's the patriarch. He's the one who deserves respect. He's the one who deserves the first choice of the land, is it not? He's the uncle. He's the one who has raised Lot from a very early age. And yet it's Abraham who is what? Manifesting gentleness toward his nephew. We're not going to feud. We're not going to fight. There's plenty of land out here. Lot, you make the first choice. And whichever way you go, I'll take the other. Wow. Gentleness. Let me ask you something. Was that really fair to Abraham? Was it fair? In fact, the Bible tells us the choice that Lot made, did he not? Lot looked out and he sees what? The well water plains of the Jordan, and that's what he took. Can you imagine? Lot, Abraham, oh, I knew you'd take that good land. No, Abraham didn't care. You take that land, and I'll go the other way. You see, here's a man manifesting gentleness. Anybody remember the story of Esau and Jacob? Boy, their early years, they just loved one another, didn't they? Those poor old Jacob took advantage of Esau over and over again, did he not? Stole his birthright, deceived him for his blessing. Got both the good things. In fact, Esau became so angry and enraged that he decided, I'm going to slay this guy after my father dies. And Jacob had to flee from home for years and years, over 20 years. Jacob's ready to come home, isn't he? Is he worried? It's unbelievable how worried he is, isn't he? He sends all of these gifts in front of him. He divides his family into three different groups of individuals. Just in case. First, the gifts are sent to appease the anger of Esau. And then, if he attacks, he's going to attack those individuals who are furthest from me first. And just maybe me and my close kin can get away from this angry man. Closer and closer and closer they get to one another. And then we have Genesis 33, 4. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. Wow. How beautiful, folks. Here's a man who, over the course of that 20-year period, he's let all of his anger go, hasn't he? Here's the boy who deceived me. Here's the guy who stole everything that was good from me. And yet, when Esau sees him, what does he do? He runs and he grabs a hold of him and kisses him and weeps and accepts him back into his fellowship immediately. That's gentleness, folks. That's gentleness. What did Paul say with regard to his conduct among those new converts? Remember? 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. And we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. They're talking about a nursing mom. Is a nursing mom gentle with her kid? Oh, absolutely. And Paul says, you need to remember when we were working with you, when we were laboring with you. Folks, new converts can be difficult groups of individuals, can't they? They're really struggling. They're having a difficult time. And guess what Paul says? When we were working with you, when we were among you, we were gentle as a nurse with children. Question. Was Jesus gentle with other people? Oh man, we can make a whole sermon on just the gentleness of Jesus, couldn't we? How about this one? The woman taken in adultery. Was Jesus gentle with her? Here was a woman who was caught in the very act. Wasn't she? Folks, she was just as guilty as she could possibly be. In fact, Jesus even authorized her killing if one person in the group was without sin, didn't he? He said, let he that is without sin cast the first stone. What if one had thought they didn't have any sin? She'd have been dead, wouldn't she? All the individuals departed. Jesus rises, looks at the woman. Where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said unto him, no man, Lord. And he said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. Folks, there's a gentle man, isn't it? Working with a sinful woman. How about this one? Peter. Is Peter going to do something pretty bad against our Lord? Oh yes, he's going to deny him three times. And Jesus knows all this beforehand. He even calls Peter in and he says, Peter, guess what? Satan hath desired thee that he may sift you as wheat. And guess what? You're going to fall to his temptation and you're going to deny me three times. Some friend you are. Is that what Jesus said? No. And I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Wow. There Jesus is hanging upon the cross of Calvary. He could have called down legions of angels upon these individuals, folks. He could have destroyed that whole mountaintop of people there, couldn't he? And the words that he spoke were these, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Remember, not rendering what? Evil for evil and railing for railing. Jesus was a gentle man. In other words, we could say he was a gentleman, wasn't he? You see, we need to practice gentleness in a lot of areas in the church, folks. We need to practice it with new converts. Did the church of Corinth have a lot of problems? Oh, yeah. And old Paul, I bet he was about to pull his hair out with that congregation sometime. You know that? And Paul writes to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, and he says, Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and, watch this, gentleness of Christ. Guys, they were listening to false teachers. They were giving ear to individuals who were drawing them away from the truth. And Paul says, look guys, I'm going to exhort you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. What about erring Christians? Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Watch this. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In the spirit of meekness. That erring brother is in sin. That erring brother is now an enemy of God. That erring brother has departed from the faith. That erring brother has set himself in opposition to God. And yet you and I, as spiritual people, have to go to him. How do we do that? With meekness, gentleness. How about this one? A penitent sinner. Remember that man at Corinth? Who is a fornicator, committed an evil so heinous that it was not even named among the Gentiles. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians, withdraw from that man. Put him out. Have nothing to do with him. By the time Paul wrote 2 Corinthians, this man had repented. And Paul says this, sufficient unto such a man is the punishment which was inflicted of many. He then goes on to say this, forgive him and comfort him, lest he, being swallowed up with overmuch sorrow, then he says this, therefore, commend your love toward him. Folks, when an individual has been gone from the flock a long period of time, when they've been in the most heinous of sins and they come back, how do we treat that person? Folks, you treat that person with gentleness. And you confirm your love toward that individual. What about this one? When there's times of disagreement between brethren, how are you supposed to act? Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Folks, you just call him over and you sit him down and you talk to him. Look, you've trespassed against me. You've done something wrong against me. You don't just go up and start going off on him. You big dummy. Who do you think you are? Make a big scene in public. Go about telling everybody how evil and how bad and how nasty that individual is. I can't believe that. No, gently. We go to each other and we work out our differences with one another. How about this one? When angry and upset, I can't remember. I think it was Emily. Didn't you have a wreck one time and a man was mad at you? There was somebody. If it wasn't Emily, if it's not Emily, it was somebody in this congregation. Had a wreck with a man. It was that individual's fault, not the other person's. It's Emily's fault. If this is who this is about. I can't remember who told me, but I think it's her. And the man got out of the car and he was just as mad as a wet hen. He gets out of the car and he's just cussing. He's just raving mad. And he walks up to her window. She rolls her window down. Here's what she says. She says, sir, that was some of the most fine driving I've ever seen in my life. When the man heard that, guess what? Not one ounce of anger anymore. She thinks I'm a good driver. I just saved us both. He just chilled out. Because you see, the Bible says what? A soft answer does what? Turneth away wrath, doesn't it? Proverbs 15, verse 1. How about this one? When we're dealing with enemies, how are we to act? What does the Bible say? Love thine enemies. Love thine enemies. Bless them that hate you. Do good to them that despise you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You see, folks, even with our enemies, we act with gentleness. I find it interesting. We pride ourselves, don't we? On being bold, plain spoken, fiery. I told him. I let him have it. I brought down the fires of hell on his head. Boy, we're just so proud of ourselves. Let me ask you this. Have you ever prided yourself on your gentleness? I could have told him off. I could have let him have it. I could have given it to him up one side and down the other. I could have ripped him apart. And guess what? I was gentle. Our Lord was gentle, wasn't he? Jesus said, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I'm meek. He's gentle. Oh, yes, he has a lot of strength. And oh, yes, he can do a lot of damage. But guess what? Jesus exhibited always strength under control, didn't he? Folks, here's my prayer for all of us, that all of us can learn to be gentle unto all men. You know that? It's tough, isn't it? Especially in an evil world. I'm thankful the Lord was gentle with us and not immediately destructive toward us as sinners, aren't you? Folks, the wages of sin is death. Jesus could have easily annihilated every human being immediately who sinned against God. He didn't do that, did he? He was gentle. He manifested his grace. He's given us his precious word that tells us what we need to do to become Christians. And the steps are simple. Hear the gospel. Believe in the Christ as the Son of God. Repent of sins. Confess the sweet name of Jesus and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. Turn into the book of Acts, and every major conversion account, there's one element found in all 9 accounts, and that is baptism into Christ. Isn't that interesting? Because Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Dear Christian, what about you? Do you honestly examine your Christian life? Do you honestly put yourself to the test? Question how faithful, how genuine, how sincere you are. Maybe there's some sin in your life and you need to repent of that and ask God to forgive you. Do you need to do that tonight? Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.